Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 738, Save His Head, Dispose of the Rest. Recorded live on June 18th, 2020. Everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
I'm just awkward.
I'm DJ Blue PDX.
And we have a very special guest with us tonight. We have Tim Dedabo, voice of 343 Guilty Spark, joining us.
Greetings, Reclaimers. I am the monitor of Installation 04.
What's going on, everybody?
I'm this guy.
There yes. We go! I'm not going to lie, it never gets old hearing you do that.
It never does.
No, it doesn't.
Last summer was the coolest experience ever.
And that was a whole lot of fun.
Discovery, getting to hear you do that like right in front of me. And then we laughed and...
That was a whole lot of fun. It was so cool of them to invite me up on the panel too, you know?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I've always found it very amazing how little... tweaking they did to it to make it sound the way it does in the game. I mean, It's very, you know, there's very little production to it or modification to it for the games, which is absolutely cool.
Really, the only thing they needed to do was flange it.
I understand. What Bungie did was they actually recorded it twice and split it, and they slid one track just slightly. And then they did a stereo flange on each one, so they kind of wavered back and forth to one another.
Oh. Like a 0.2 second delay.
Then, of course, they did the surround effect so that if he moves, that it goes off on a different speaker.
Which is genius.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And it was funny because when I made the suggestion, when I first came on the project for Outpost Discovery, I made the suggestion of, hey, you know, it'd be really cool. Let's get some of these following voice actors in. And I said, you know, I wasn't expecting them to say yes. I figured they'd say, yeah, that's a really high tier thing. We're just going to, but I threw it out there. And what I got immediately was, yeah, sure, that's not a problem.
Yeah, sure.
I was... trying to get the rest of my project approved, and you just said yes to, all right,
for the most part, we're all just working actors, dudes. Really. You know, it's like Jen Taylor said it perfectly 10 years ago when we did the Halo Fest. She said, hey, I just thought it was another gig. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's just a thing, which is amazing.
Until you see all the crazy Halo fans out there, and then some of them probably make you...
Guys, we didn't know yet. I didn't know until after Halo 2 had released just how nutty it was. I was having fun playing Halo 1. It was my first Xbox. And I started playing Halo 1. I was like, this is really pretty cool. I said, you know, this is a whole lot better than Oni. and I thought Oni was the you know? Excuse me, can I say that?
Yeah, you're fine. We'll bleep it in post.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, yeah. And then I started playing Halo 1 and, you know, I guess I'm jumping into a story. I had just finished a voice lesson and I went into the local GameStop. And this kid couldn't have been more of a gamer. He had the curly hair and the pimples and he kind of talked like this. And he said, sir, I'm going to need to see some ID with your credit card because I was buying Halo 2. I hadn't gotten it gifted to me yet. And he's looking at me, he's looking at me, he's looking at my ID, he's looking at my credit, he goes, Tim Dedabo, why do I know that? You're Guilty Spark, aren't you? Are you the voice of Guilty Spark? And every friggin' kid in the store is like, and I'm like, kid, shh. I'm like, yeah, I'm him, what the hell?
It's like, keep it down.
I had no idea. Dude, can I get your autograph?
Oh, yeah.
Can you sign my helmet? You know, or your my game or whatever. That was the helmet and two or three, I forget. You know,
three.
Yeah,
three. Those three. Helmet, yeah.
3 hours later, Tim has managed to sign everything, including PlayStation games in the store. Well, and they're like, "Can you sign the door on your way out?"
Cardboard cut out of Halo or something like that, or Master Chief.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
There you go. Oh, I have a lot of
fun. We got our first free story of the night.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun.
There we go.
Right there. So for those who obviously don't know, I mean, the resemblance is uncanny.
Yes, it looks just like my character.
Why we have him here. And we were saying before the show, we think you're actually our first voice actor to have on the podcast. So we are very thankful that you are more than willing to be on the podcast. And I have to give you massive props, too, because we met at Halo Fest, which was 9 years ago at this point.
Yeah, wow.
Huh? And then I think we met again in maybe at New York Comic Con. What? Do you remember what event that was that you sent me the picture of this morning?
That was Halo Fest.
Was it Halo Fest? Okay.
Well, no, I'm sorry. That was PAX Fest. Well, Halo Fest, but that was PAX Fest.
Right. So it was still Halo. I think there was one other time that we may have met since.
Well, no, okay.
Then maybe
everything's a blur, dude. There was one where they had red versus blue guys there. They had so much. That was where they had the diorama too. Was it a Halo event or was it?
That was Halo. That was actually Halo Fest.
Okay. That was Halo Fest. Yeah. The only other time I could think that we may have met each other was either San Diego Comic Con or New York Comic Con.
See, now I never did a Comic Con.
E3.
It might have been E3.
I did Dragon Con. I did
Dragon Con. I've not done Dragon Con.
I did PAX Fest, and then I did Halo Fest. That's it. Oh, well, and then Outpost.
So for me, that makes this even more incredible that we only met at Halo Fest, and then you come running up to me while we're doing stage prep for my game show at Halo Outpost in Chicago, and you yell out my name, Dusty, and I'm like, who the... Tim? It's like after eight, nine years, you still remembered who I was for only meeting me for a weekend.
You're a pretty imposing character, sir.
I'm a gentle giant.
That's what I mean.
Right? I don't think people understand how tall... Can I go... Like, how tall are you?
How tall am I?
Yes.
Really short. I'm very short.
I'm shrinking every day. I'm around 5'7".
Right? And Dusty is, you're six, what? You're like 6'3"?
6'5".
6'5". You're ridiculous. It's absurd. He's like a giraffe.
That's what I mean. He's a rather imposing character.
I drink my milk and eat my greens.
Yeah, boy.
Easy to spot in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
That is true.
whereas Tim and I are basically darn near the same height. Yeah. So.
Which is why I snagged your shirt, bro. Thanks.
Right. Also, just a quick thank you so much. I thought it was so cool. He was like, I'm going to be doing a bike race tomorrow. And I love these jerseys. And I happen to have a large in my that I had brought with me. It's the one that I didn't wear because it's the one of the prototypes that has the spelling error on the back, which is great. Because instead of Orlando, it says Oral Ando. And I'm like, what? But he was like, yeah, so kid. And I said, great, hold on, I'll go get it. And I ran to the hotel, got it for him, brought it the next day. He wore it in the race. And there are pictures of you in a bicycle race.
Yes, sir.
In my jersey, yes, which is incredible.
The very next day, I was in a mountain bike race.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how did you do? I never got to hear how you did in the race.
In my age category, I took 18th.
Hey, it matters. It matters.
I took 18th. Now, just so you know, not... In my age category, there was 580 total riders. So I really don't remember how many there were in my category. You know, but there's sport class, there's kids, there's women's races, there's sport class and that. And they just sent us out in different heats, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I ride a lot.
Yeah. That's actually upstairs right now. I had to order a new chain because my chain came out, just is dead. And so I had to replace my chain on my bike, but that's the next piece of exercising.
Don't stop pedaling, dude.
Is getting back on the biking.
Is it just me or is everybody, you know, I don't know where you guys all are, but are you guys seeing like so many people out walking and riding now?
Yes.
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 I was just out with my wife riding around and we're like, oh my God. I don't think anybody's in their house right now.
No, as soon as they said it's opened up, like people were like, all right, masks on, but we're getting the heck out of the house.
Right.
Get off the property. Right. For God's sake, we've been seeing this for like the last 3 months. We've got to get, we need something vibrant.
Yes, I know, dudes. I know. I know.
I will say, like, even despite the pandemic being what it is nice to actually go outside and see clear blue skies, like
no doubt.
Blue, not smog. Right?
and hear birds all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And see wildlife not in their normal place. Well, out everywhere. You know, I'm just outside of Chicago. And to see coyotes running down Michigan Avenue and you know, wildlife swimming along Lake Michigan like they used to. Because nobody was allowed at the beaches or on the lakefront path.
Yeah. It's been interesting because here in Oregon, you know, obviously we've got a plethora of very diverse wildlife here. And I live 48 blocks out of downtown, but it's still considered part of inner Portland. And it's been really interesting seeing the variations in wildlife that have made a presence, or at least made their presence more well known, and watching how the public has responded with regards to really getting educated. And we've got like neighborhood advisory boards now about, hey, if you see a coyote, this is what you do. If you see deer, or, you know, this is what you do. This is what they can eat. This is what they cannot eat. This is what's wise and where to put it, so they're not attracted back to your home, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But seeing people be more proactive about how they're interacting with the animal life and the wildlife in order to keep them comfortable, as well as being able to respect their existence in a way that is useful for how they exist within our ecosystem.
Well, and they're cleaning up really stuff we don't want around our houses anyway. You know, they are. They're cleaning
up
mice.
Deer, make sure you have an up to date deer tag.
You know, they're taking out mice and rats, and you know, I mean, that's their staple. That's their num-nums.
So, and with everything that's been canceled, I know I have personally, like, we've went from going, okay, well, I'm going to travel again this year down to Australia and running all the PAXes, to I'm getting puppies.
There you go. There you go.
It's a cute puppy, though. And we got a second cat.
You got a second cat?
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, it was the one that was up on the desk a couple weeks ago.
Dust, I'll ship you a third one.
We've got enough to handle with the second one.
So,
I have a question, holes in the box.
I have a question, oddly. So, as a Great Dane guy, I'm a dog person. I'm allergic to cats. So, Tim, do you have pets, and what kind of pets do you have?
I used to have German Shepherds. Then I got a wife. I guess I should further explain. I had a beautiful German Shepherd. She started getting old, and I got a pup. I swear to God, the shepherd before her trained the next puppy.
Oh,
and she got smarter. She was the smartest damn dog ever. Well, I moved out on my own. I met my wife to be, and we lived together for about a year. We got married and lived together. And she tried everything: the shots, the pills, everything, and she could not get through her allergies.
Oh, no.
So I had to give her to my best friend's mom had just put their dog down. And they were so sad. And I said, Mom, can I give you Gretchen? And she goes, oh, I love Gretchen. I said, she loves you. I said, would you take her? By that time, she was 8. So Mom she protected that house like nobody's business, man. She laid on Mom's feet, you know? So
that's
great. But, you know, I've never been able to get another dog since. And that's okay. I keep Milk Bones in the house. Everybody that walks by with dogs, their dogs run up to my house. They know to come to Tim's house because he's got bones.
Well, and
he's the treat man.
Like puppy love. Every dog seems to know who the dog people are.
Oh, sure. There's no doubt.
So they're always just, hey.
My neighbor across the street just bought a bull mastiff. He's a beast.
Oh.
And he just comes right up to me and leans and sits. And he looks at me and goes, what the F are you doing, dude? You are such a dog. He goes, I cannot get that dog to do that. He just sits next to you and he chills.
Yeah, no, all Great Danes, and which are part Mastiff, all they have this lean thing, and they just lean into you.
Well, with him, he pulls him like a
And you've got to be stable because these are 200-pound plus dogs.
Yeah, he's a beast.
And if you're not secure on both 2 feet, they're going to knock you over and fall over onto you because they expect you to be a tower of solidarity.
Yeah, right.
You're gigantic. Can you not?
You're a giant kid. Calm down a little bit.
You know, when it comes to large dogs, I haven't met a large dog yet that doesn't do the lean.
Sure.
They'll come up next to you and just...
And you're like, hey.
They know that they're little. I don't think they know that they're not little.
Yeah. No, God, no.
I mean,
they think you're just a big
plaything.
We've
got a chocolate lab right now, and she's right at 70 pounds-ish. And she does the same thing.
Yeah. How old is she?
She's 2.5
Oh, okay. So she's pretty much done growing then, except for she might get thicker.
Yeah, she'll probably get thicker, but yeah, she'll come up to me and she'll, you know, just push against my legs while I'm cooking breakfast.
Okay.
Which is really fun when you got a nice hot skillet in your hand. Yeah.
You're like, I'm standing here. Do you mind?
Excuse me.
It's like, if you don't want a hot pan to fall on top of your head, you might want to be careful the kitchen. So our first cat that we got, since we're on pet stories, has now gotten into the habit that whenever I go into the kitchen for anything, whether I'm getting a drink of water, whether I'm getting food, whether I'm going in to put dishes in the dishwasher, she will come and sit on the mat that's in front of our sink and sit there and just have a begging face. Because like sometimes I'll give her like little chicken strips out of the fridge. And every time I go in now, she just goes there and sits and looks up at me and just waits.
It's hilarious.
It's a magic box.
Now you know what I go through every time I sit at this desk to play video games, to stream, to do the podcast. My cat is right over there on the desk right now staring at me like he wants food, even though there's food in his bowl.
Because you treat him.
He doesn't want the food that's in the bowl. He wants the food that you put in the bowl. You serve the cat. That is the cat lifestyle.
Good grief. But anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
So sorry, I apologize for that.
They probably want us to talk about Halo stuff. Right.
There we go.
Well, a little bit.
We'll talk a little bit. I do want to touch on some stuff that's not specifically Halo, because you've been on Podcast Evolved and you've also been on with Ultimate Halo and you've talked about some Halo stuff before. So I don't want to necessarily repeat the same stuff. We probably will cover some stuff over there, but
okay.
I do want to at least shout them out and share the love. Go check out the other Halo content creators out there. But I guess Let's start with a round of questions from the co-hosts first, and then we'll touch into some community questions. We'll kind of do the same thing for this first hour. That's why dogs is better than cats. I mean, I'm a dog lover personally.
Me too.
I own a pellet rifle. Oh.
Wow.
We have a few stray cats. I'm nice
on that
them,
note.
But,
you know.
Oh, wait a minute. That was squirrels. Sorry.
Squirrel.
You mean Pomeranians? No, sorry.
Anyway, so my first question is, what got you interested in doing VO work to start with?
I got into it backwards, actually. Pretty much my whole childhood, teenhood, young adulthood, I was either in a band. I had long hair and I was cute and young at one time. I was either in a band or I was acting. My mother was a singer and an actor. So it was kind of a gimme, and I really just couldn't take the band life anymore. Coming home at 3 o'clock in the morning was all it was cracked up to be, smelling of cigarettes and stale alcohol. So I happened to run into a friend who said, you know, dude, I hear you singing. You sound like so many of the singers. You should think about doing jingles. I said, what'll's? He said, jingles, man. I said, what are jingles? And he told me what they were, and he said, this, go see this guy at this recording studio and, you know, he'll help you make a demo. So I made a demo and I started doing okay. I was in there making another demo and a lady sat next to me and she said, I've been listening to you talk. You have such a nice young voice. Would you mind reading this for me? And I looked at her and I said, sure. What is this? Is this a song? And she said, no, honey, it's a voiceover. I said, what over? She said, you know, it's the speaking part of a commercial. And I said, oh, okay. So I started to read it. And she said, that was nice. She goes, but, you know, now like you're talking to a friend. I said, oh, so this is acting on mic. She said, exactly. So I read it for her again. She goes, excellent. Let's go record it. And I recorded the thing a couple, two, three different ways. Just whipped out my actor chops. And she said, that was fantastic. I'll let you know if you booked it or not. And she left. And my buddy looked at me. He goes, you've never done a voiceover before. And I said, no. He goes, dude, the jingle. You should be doing this.
Yeah! And
I said, I don't even know what the hell I just did. He said, yeah, but you were great. He said, go see this guy and get some chops. And I did. And the rest, as they say, is history. I made my first demo and just, you know, I'm an absolute chill. I market. I used to advertise in all the local trades. I used to drop off tchotchkes. I used to make appointments and sit eye to eye with my clients and say, here's my demo. Let's sit and listen to it together. And by the way, here's some bubbles for your kids. And here's some paper and pens. And, you know, I used to market my ass off. And I started getting more and more and more work, which is how incredible. I met Marty O'Donnell.
Oh, miss the Marty. Miss the Marty.
Yeah. Miss the Marty, too. GT, you got a question lined up?
As far as your voice acting itself, what are some of your more favorite characters that you've played over the years?
It's
other
funny.
Than the obvious.
It's funny that people ask that because, you know, it's every next job is a great fun thing to do. I'm about to do Mr. Saltz from Nickelodeon. Again. So, I mean, I do so many things. I don't know if you guys can see this behind me, but I call that my wall of shame. I'm, you know, Applejack's Apple. I've done Scrubbing Bubbles. I've done Raid Bugs. You know, I've done video games, of course. But, I mean, you know, I was Speedy Gonzalez for a half a season. So, it's just a blessing to be this crazy person that has allowed all these voices within me out. You know, I did an ad, Tim Dadabo, giving multiple personalities a work.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool.
So, yeah.
I mean, you have for those of you who, like, know that he has a YouTube channel, on Tim's YouTube channel, he has a little demo reel that you put out last year?
I actually put out a brand new one about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I don't even know if I've seen the brand. Or maybe I did.
It's the lead video on there now. It's also okay, the lead video on my website.
But there were some things, either on that one or the previous one, that I'm like, I had no idea this was him. And I remember watching those commercials growing up.
Sure. Sure.
Especially like, Apple from Applejack's.
And you have probably been hearing me, DJ, you've probably been hearing me a long time. And I was the voice of K2 News. For a long time.
Oh.
Portland's K2.
Yes, actually, I do recognize that a lot, to be quite honest.
Laura Logan on the Mexican border.
Oh my God, that I actually remember. What?
I was your voice for 7 years, bud.
Oh, that's incredible. Wow. So I grew up listening to you then. There we go. I mean, I already assumed that, but that's even better. That's incredible.
That's the other thing I do. I do a lot of promo work. We're vocal whores.
Yes. You're not wrong. Yes. My first State Farm commercial was the most atrociously hilarious thing I've ever done in my entire life. And it took us 45 minutes because my screw-ups were the funniest part ever. I had one producer in the corner laughing so hard in the control room because he just couldn't keep it together. Because of course, when you screw up, you swear. And I made a comment because there was somebody recording something in the booth behind us, and I could hear the bass. They had the audio way too loud. I'm like, I can hear that. That's sure. coming through the mic. And so as we're recording this this insurance radio commercial, I said, you know, they're laughing and I'm trying to keep it together, but at the same time, it's early in the morning. I'm terrible in the morning. And I remember saying we're gonna put this on the bloopers reel. So our program director took all of the screw-ups and like edited it down into a bloopers reel, and it's the most atrociously volatile level of me trying to get these lines out and then screwing up swearing and then continuing to just try and go with it and trying not to laugh and giggling and just stupidity, at which point they said, maybe you should try things other than commercial work. And I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
And that's when you went the DJ route?
Yeah, so my
but Hunky Fireman is already taken.
There we go. my question for you comes from those of us who are either who have voice actors or looking to voice actor, or those who are looking to get into it. Because I know there's a lot of people who are always intrigued by, hey, I make stupid voices in the shower, or what they call stupid voices, and I say those are just other personalities. Personally, I have an entire list of things that I use, whether it be juices or liquors or other types of ways to shape how your vocal cords respond, whether it be through mucus or, you know, dehydration or overhydration. What are some of the tricks that you've used to create some of the iconic voices that you have produced over the years in your career as a voice actor?
Drugs. I'm sorry, no.
Don't do drugs, kids. Don't do drugs. Just kidding.
I have to tell you, it's just, it's a gift. You know, it really is. I mean, what you do too, DJ, it's a gift. You know?
Yeah.
And it's a channeled gift. If any of you has ever sat down and read cover to cover, any motivational material, any sales material, how to get out of a rut. So I took all this silliness that I have that I'm really, really good at, and I channeled it as a business. That's the only difference, you know? And that what a lot of people, well, people tell me I have a great voice. Okay, yeah, that's great. Can you sound like your next door neighbor? Talking over the fence, hey man, that's a really nice lawnmower. Where'd you get that? You know, I mean, and do you know how to work a microphone? I can teach a banana. You know, I can teach you how to talk into a banana. You know, it's really ridiculous. There's just so much that goes into it. And it used to be the city you lived in made a big difference too. And that's kind of gone away, especially right now, but that's kind of gone away. But guys, if you're really interested in this, there is a huge glut now of voiceover actors. When I first started, there was maybe 25 people that were making a really good living in Chicago, and that's it. The other ones on the outside fringe, they were doing okay. But these, the top 25 guys were pulling in high six figures to low seven figures every single year. And they did so for 10, 15, 20 years because they're really good and they're really focused, you know? And wow. At that time, they lived in the right city, Chicago, you know?
And count in the morning. Hello.
Right. Yeah. So at that time, it was New York, Chicago, LA. That's it. Those are the only places that where you made a really good living. You know, it depends on what you want to do. Are you good at that? Then buck up and move up, you know, and move to LA, and you can do all the cartoons you want if you can get in the door.
So you were around for the KT, the K2 days. You were here when Nelson, like Nelson in the Morning with Z100 and Q105.
Probably. I don't know if I did a lot of radio stuff. I did all the K2 news stuff.
Yeah. 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 No, that was back in that era. So that makes so much more sense. Cause it's funny. Like one of the people that shaped kind of how I sportscast is Bill Shonley.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and he was, Blazer sportscaster.
Sure.
But anyways, Dusty, you're up.
Cool.
Sorry to dominate there.
No. It's all good. It's all good stuff. I mean, I know we could be here for hours if we really wanted to, but respect for Tim's time, we'll try to keep it a little contained this time around. Maybe we just need a round two at some point.
There you go.
Who knows? So I'm going to go ahead and pick one from the community. And for folks that are in the chat, we'll get to chat questions a little bit later. We've got quite a few community ones to actually get through first. I'm going to go with just a quick, easy one for... I found this somewhere. I lost it. But basically, they were asking if you could do... If there were any other languages that you spoke that you could do this Guilty Spark voice in. So, if you knew another language that you could say something in a Guilty Spark voice.
Yo es tres, a Guilty Spark.
Good enough.
Sí, sí, en español. Wow. No.
It's kind of weird. It's kind of like you hear both of it a little bit.
No, I do it for... Speedy Gonzalez. I can do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing!
Do you know for like the language translations for Halo? Do you know your other Guilty Spark counterparts?
I do not.
That have done like the voice translations.
Although I did a Scottish voice. I didn't know if you played the first version, but I was a Scottish soldier, and he did not live very long. I played the Scottish soldier, and then when we were recording Halo 2. I was talking to Mark. By that time, Marty was already in, Seattle. And I'm reading along some Guilty Spark lines, and I was like, Mira, vato, how come you don't let me read Corporal Perez? You know I'm Spanish, right?
You're that guy?
I'm Corporal Perez, vato. You don't know that?
No, and, I didn't know that.
He's like, hang on. And he went away. And I'm like, Marty? Mark? Okay, he's not there.
He came back. He goes, read it again. He goes, I got three people with me. So I started reading. Hey, man, what are you doing? Come on, cut it out. You know, I started reading all Perez's lines. And he's like, okay, you're Corporal Perez.
I had no idea.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Wow. So, yeah, that's me. That's me. That, you know, I did two different characters, but while I did the ending scene for when Guilty Spark flies away after the ring blows up in Anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he says, unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable. Oh, for shit's sake. Guys, can I beg off for 1 second? It's sure. My agent.
Absolutely.
Sure? All right.
Yeah. Yep. The special guest treatment.
Can I be honest? This is probably the coolest thing ever. Like, oh, I thought it was great when we had it at Pubs Discovery, but this is amazing. We hope you're enjoying this, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tim the Double Live with Podtacular. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know he was. Yeah. Sergeant Perez.
I'm going to bring it up, but while we're doing this, I just want to go through a small list because I pulled up Tim Dadabo's IMDb page. For those of you who don't know, he's voice acted more than just cartoons. I'm looking at Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutants in Manhattan, the video games in 2016, Legend of Korra, Watch Dogs, Doc McStuffins, Escape from Planet Earth, Cartoon Universe, Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness. He was in the TV series The Short as the old man Shengi. Obviously, Halo. Nicktoons MLB, The Looney Tunes Show back in 2011, Dragon Age 2, Turtle's Tale, Sammy's Adventures. He was the voice of the policeman, which is, like, amazing. Those of you who don't have kids, maybe you didn't watch it. I was a nanny, so I watched all the kids' shows.
Yep.
There we go. Dragon Age Origins, Risk Factions, and there's Red Faction Guerrilla, one of my favorite games outside of the Halo franchise. Loved Red Factions Guerrilla. Their open world layout was just genius. It was incredible. Maybe that's something I should go back and see if we can get on PC and play as a stream. Ooh. But Dragon Age Origins, Two Dreadful Children, American Dad. He was a waiter on American Dad, right? Wow. Def Jam icon. Obviously, Halo 2, Halo 2, Halo 3. Leisure Suit Larry. He was in Leisure Suit. Wow, that's a game that we still can't stream to this day, but that's hilarious. Carrier. And of the original Red Faction video game, or the original from 2001 Red Faction. So that's incredible. So if you're hearing these things and you haven't taken an opportunity to check these games out or to play them, these are a lot of things that are way back from the OG of Xbox's like original days. Check them out. If you haven't got them, try them. This will be a great chance to see if you can figure out which voices Tim did. And yeah. That's incredible. Do we know his social media?
Yes, he is. Follow? He is at DAVOCAL1 on Twitter.
There we go. It's also tagged in the Podtacular tweet. I should have noticed that and thought 5 seconds before I opened my mouth.
It's all good. But I mean, you bring up an interesting point where he's been in so many different like TV shows, commercials, video games, like all these characters that you didn't know that were voiced by the same guy. It just goes to show how much range he has in his talent.
He has a lot of range.
Yes. I was also, I'm not going to lie, super jazzed when he turned around and exited the room simply because I got to see my gamer tag in the back of the jersey.
Did you secretly text him?
I'm still like, Tim Drabo is wearing my jersey.
There you go. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on here. Like, I've heard of a lot of the stuff that you just rattled off, and I just put the link to the IMDb page for those that are in chat. But, like, I had no idea that he was... I mean, it kind of makes sense being a voice actor. You kind of dip and dabble everywhere so you can kind of have a good breadth to your...
Well, you go where there's work.
Yeah.
Well, and the nice thing, especially now, is with the ability for mobile broadcasting hardware to be able to be placed into anything from a closet to a small office, you grab soundproofing and I'm in a basement and I've got, you know, I'm in a basement of a house, an enclosed basement, and it's a broadcast studio. So the ability to not have to go to these different places and be able to do what you're doing remotely, you can get all sorts of different options and opportunities now because of the advancement in technology, because of the advancement of opportunities. And with the right agent, or at least the right submission websites, you can now engage with those opportunities, which opens up the field to so many more people who may not have had the opportunity to try voice acting or at least submit their work for recognition. And I think that really goes to show how we've progressed both technologically and societally with this career, with this career path.
So
Tim DeDabo. Well,
you must be talking about voice bank or whatever they're calling it this week.
I may have gone through your IMDb page and people were like, wait, he was in what? All the Red Faction work. Bruh. One of my other favorite game franchises. Red Faction Guerrilla was incredible.
God. That was
still to this day one of my favorite games.
Yeah, that was crazy. Though they're out of Illinois, or they were, Volition.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. Back in the day.
But yeah, that's second cool. time they booked me when I was out in LA. So that was kind
of. Did you record remotely or did they fly you in?
No, I winter in LA. I was wintering in LA for about 5 years. So as you know, Chicago gets a bit nippy.
Yep.
So we used to winter in LA and I have an agent out there. So it was perfect. I'd get someplace in Santa Monica. Well, let's find someplace in Santa Monica so we can go swimming. And
yep.
that was life. And while I was out there, they said, hey, man, DeDabo's out here. Bring him in. So that was cool.
Nice. My first time in Chicago was when I moved there in the Navy. I had been at the hottest summer of Oregon was in 1994. And I rolled to boot camp for the Navy in Orlando, the last graduating class in Orlando. So I got used to it being 90 plus degrees constantly in full dungarees and dress uniforms and whatever. On 3 days before my birthday was December. No, it was the day before my birthday, December 8th. We flew out from Orlando after we graduated, closed the base down, and flew to Great Lakes.
Yes, sir.
Right?
I
land in O'Hare, and they said, today's temperature is negative 20, and it's the wind chill's negative 60. Please have storm weather gear ready when you exit the airport, and we've got all these people there, and I arrive in my summer clothes, and I just remember going, what is happening? I got sick so fast. It was ridiculous. Yeah, I've never
I know you guys
cold
well.
Like that in my life.
I'm with the USO at O'Hare. So I'm sending off the guys to boot camp at Great Lakes. You know, that's one of my gigs at USO O'Hare.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That is amazing, by the way, since all boot camps now happen at Great Lakes. But I got there and realized this is what real winter looks like.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing.
That's what I always tell the kids. So have you ever been to cold weather before? No. I said, welcome to Chicago, kids. grab them and run.
Yeah, time you're running across the street because you're only allowed to be outside for so many seconds before frostbite set in. Mm-hmm. That's like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Like when hell has frozen over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little term about in Chicago. Rains. It's called the hawk. And when the hawk is flying, that means you can't, you could be walking down the street. And as you turn the corner, the wind catches your breath and you go, and for a second, you cannot breathe.
Yeah.
Oh, the hawk's flying. No, and the hawk is flying high in Chicago today. You know, you walk around the corner, it's just like, it just.
You ever wondered what it's like to feel your lungs freeze? Yeah.
That's it.
It's painful.
Yeah. It just steals your breath.
There's a lot of warm brandy drank during the winter months.
Yeah.
All across Chicago.
I've never heard that term before. That's a new one to me.
Well, when we used
warm
to go to the Bears games.
Where you take the brandy and you.
My wife used to bring a boa, those boas, the leather, basically it's like a leather pouch, and she'd fill it with brandy. Yeah. And we'd tuck it in under our armpit, and you know, we'd sit at the Bears games and just, you know, just to warm up.
It worked. Okay. It did work. Mm-hmm.
I don't feel a thing. I don't care. The Bears suck.
They're like, touchdown. Yay! That's the other team.
That's
care.
All right. I'm a good sport.
I'm a real fan.
So, Dusty, did you have the next question?
Yes, yeah. I do have the next question, and I just want to go back and give a shout to Ghost Javi. He was the one that mentioned interpreting Guilty Spark into Spanish, but I kind of did the whole, like, any other language.
Lo siento, mi español es muy mal. Tell him that. Lo siento, señor.
That's great.
Another kind of easier one that we'll go with. Where is it? Oh, this is from the Halo Codex on Twitter. I've always wondered of all the lines... I was going to say the one for later. Sorry. This one comes from Andrew Crawford. I want to know what his thoughts are on the additions they made to the character Guilty Spark after CE. What do you think of the Forerunner trilogy and Renegades?
I think... What else could I say, man? They're all a blast. You know, that's just a great storyline, and it just keeps unfolding and getting better and better. You know?
It's cool that Spark still has a life outside the games, and we just actually did a Renegades review on the show about 2-3 months ago. So it was cool going through and kind of seeing how Spark went through like the Rubicon stuff, and now he has his own personality. That's kind of, and he has his Guilty Spark memories and his Chakas memories, and now he's kind of this new person that's not necessarily the prehistoric human or the glowing light bulb, but it's kind of this new persona that still resembles Spark.
And I don't know if any of you guys really cool. heard Primordium. So yep. That was a pretty cool read.
I have to admit, I was absolutely floored by that last chapter. As you were reading it and you slowly switched into 343's voice. Because I honestly didn't even realize that it was you reading it until that very last chapter.
Riser.
Wait, hold on.
Riser will punish.
It was funny because I knew it was his story. And I asked the producer, who was a woman, and I don't know how... Well, she probably was very familiar with the franchise because she had done all the audiobooks. Steve did his. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you want me to morph into Guilty Spark's voice at the end? She goes, I think you should. So I said, okay, great. And this is a funny little aside. That was the first time I used a iPad to read something. Because cool. She said, hey, do you have an iPad or a Kindle? And I said, no. She said, okay, it's no big deal. She said, it's just a little more editing. She said, because you're going to have paper noises every time you take a page away. I said, oh, right. Well, that makes sense. And the guy who owned the studio said, here's my credit card. He said to one of the assistants, he goes, run down to the Apple store and get me an iPad right now.
Whoa.
So he bought an iPad.
No kidding.
And he kept it. And I used it. And I'm like, hey, this is really freaking cool. And if you look behind me, there's an iPad. I do not use paper at all anymore.
I just need to go back for a second. So wait, there is an audible of Primordium.
Yes.
Yes.
I am the worst Halo fan ever for not knowing this. Dude. Oh my God.
Cut him
off.
Okay,
now I have to go back and I have to go back and listen to the audiobook. Now I know what I'm going to do on my walks, my hikes, my
You know what? Why do you there even you have him on?
Why were you hit by a car, DJ? Well, listen. There's this guy named Tim Dodamo. He was reading a book that I've already read, but I had to hear it for myself. And I was so amazed, I was giggling and laughing, and then I forgot the fact that, well, there may have been a bus coming.
Why is he
Well,
here?
The story of the late DJ.
When I finish it, I let Dust have a listen to that last chapter just so he could hear it.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if he ever listened to it, but I let him listen to that last chapter just so he could hear the change from Chakas into 343.
Well, which and I'm wondering, just wanted to use what, my natural speaking voice to be Chakas.
Yeah. I will tell you this. The book of the three books, it is the driest of the three books. But the way you brought him to life made the book so much easier to
Thank
listen
you.
To.
Thank you. I got to meet him actually at Discovery.
Yeah.
He was in the room. Greg Bear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to meet him.
Chicago had a lot of authors and voice talent for Outpost. It was insane. Right. It was probably, aside from, I guess, the first one being Orlando, probably the most star-studded one, right, DJ? Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. Chicago.
Besides Jen and Steve and myself, who else showed up from the game, voice-wise?
pretty much all the writers for Halo primarily went to the Chicago event.
Voice-wise, it was just you three.
Okay.
But we had a ton of authors come in. We also had a ton of authors for, was it Houston or? No, it was Anaheim.
Anaheim
was our other big author event. But it was in Chicago because it's somebody, it's like, I originally started reading the books because I had an accident and I wasn't able to walk for a year. So,
dude,
I started reading the books during my recovery process to do something other than just game. And it really made me start thinking. And so over the years, once I kind of got discovered, started shoutcasting and things like that, and moved in and became part more closely embedded with the Halo community and 343, I would regularly reach out to Jeff Easterling, Grim Brother
sure,
One, and saying, hey,
sure.
What am I, how do I pronounce this word? Like, you're reading it. It doesn't matter. I need to know how I'm pronouncing it in my head because I want to understand these things. And then having these engaged conversations with him about the storyline optics and these concepts and the interrelational tendencies of where these things were going and some of the dynamics between the different species mm-hmm. and how this affected and thinking of how this applies to real world scenarios. And it was interesting because he dragged me over and he said, hey, by the way, I want you to meet a couple of authors. We've had conversations about their books. This is DJ. And he'd already talked to them, and being able to talk to discuss these things and hear the insights and share that mystified reality of, hey, these are things that really click and engage that level of imagination to such a degree that it makes
you bad.
It makes us look at the world in a different way because we're starting to apply this scenario to what we're experiencing in this situation in life and how those are applicable and the way that the writing. And in some cases, the emotions we feel when we hear the voices, like when we hear you do 343 Gear to Spark, how it brings back that level of nostalgia and why it's so important to the franchise.
And story creation, especially in this genre, is so incredibly, it's such a gift. It's such an art form, you know? When I see how beautiful the game is and the characters, and you're like, where did they come up with this shit? You know, even my character, but to see Tartarus and you know, the elites and I'm just like, what, you know, where did they come up with this? You know? So, yeah. And, you know, Greg adding another layer there. Well, there's a lot of Halo authors, aren't there? Greg is the only one I know of.
Yeah.
I know there's others.
There's Kelly Gay. There's Greg Bear. There's Troy, and there's a ton.
Yeah.
Like there's easily a dozen at minimum.
Okay.
Well, and just the, not even including the short stories, we did a community poll on the authors, and I think it was like 16 or 20 or 21, something like that.
Yeah.
Like different authors for the major.
I was going to say there was probably about 20.
Yeah, I think it was 20 or 21.
Awesome.
So, yeah, there's a lot.
Never ceases to freak me. Well, do we have any other questions?
I have tons.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
But
yes.
Who's next?
I'm going to pull two more from social, and then we'll go back around to doing us again.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and do the Codex one. Has there been any lines in particular that you have ad-libbed or improvised while doing Guilty Spark Read?
Many of the, of course, the outtake lines. You know, like, I guess they call them the stall lines if you're stalling.
Oh, yes.
You know, most of those. If it wasn't Marty, it was me. Or it was another guy who's no longer with the game either. He was a brilliant writer. And I think after two or three, he split. And his name is Matt Sell. He's working for a game company down in Texas. And Matt and I have stayed really close. And if it wasn't one, you know, I have a picture of him, Marty, Mike, and I. Recording Halo 3 or it was 3. And, you know, those little stall lines, those are just a blast.
Oh, look, I'm a real boy.
You know, those kinds of things, you know. those were the most ad-lib lines. Now, some of the stuff I came up with to flesh them out a little more. But, you know, I have to say that Marty and Jason and Matt and they were instrumental in how Spark really, they wanted Spark to be. If I told the story, please stop me. But that was the gig I almost didn't get.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I went in there and I had an idea, you know, because they told me what he was and who he was, sort of, kind of. And I started reading for him and they were like, oh, okay, thanks. We'll let you know. And I was about to leave and I said, hey, Marty, I said, do you have a drawing of Spark? And he said, dude, you were so close. He goes, wait a minute. He goes, what if you made him kind of like a maniacal C-3PO? He goes, this is kind of what he looks like. And he didn't quite look like that yet. And I said, okay. I said, you know what? Let me try something. And I went back in and I fleshed out that voice and they go, that's him. That's the voice.
Oh, that's amazing.
And at that moment, they put the flange on it and I was like, okay, let me continue to read. And I could hear the flange and everything. And they were like, that's it. That's the voice. So it was a voice. It was, like you said, it was a gig I almost didn't get.
Wow. And yet it changed everything.
Yeah. Well, Speedy Gonzalez, that's when I did him, I knew I had him. I knew I hit him the minute I started doing it because they were seeing guy after guy after guy. They had ordered lunch and I came in the middle of their freaking lunch. I'm like, oh, this can't be good. So I just blew him away. I started doing the voice and I was running around. And I started running around it and I saw them put, they were like lemming or they were like meerkats. They just put everything down and I saw them do this and they were like, And I was like, okay, I got him. you know when you got him, right? When you're doing that, when they're like meerkats, you're like, okay. You see him nodding.
Once they all turn
like,
their
okay,
heads at once. It's either you've got it or it's time to get out.
Well, no, there's a difference that you know. You can see that they're either disinterested or they're like, oh no.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, or if they're disinterested, they're talking and they're not even paying attention to you. You don't got it. You know.
Yeah.
But if you see them basically drop whatever they're doing or thinking or put their phone down and look through the glass, you know you got them.
Well, especially if they're stopping the food train, like
right.
Hello, you came between you and their food.
Right. Right.
There you go.
What else? You had another question too, Dustin.
Yeah, I got one more question before we go back into us asking some questions. This one comes from Hidden Xperia. He says, if you could voice one character of your choosing that isn't Guilty Spark from any game, movie, show, etc. that you haven't done before, who would it be and why?
Wow.
Is there anything out there that like you've seen that and like, oh, I wish I could do that? Sorry?
He said, I suppose it would have to be Sean Connery. No.
Oh,
that's not bad. That's
actually, no, you know.
Well done, sir.
I don't know who you are, but I'm going to look for you, and I'm going to find you, and I will kill you.
I love doing that's pretty voice. Good, too.
I love doing this voice.
That's incredible.
And I will kill you.
Golden voice of voice acting right there.
Nicely done.
Too bad Guilty Spark couldn't sound like that.
That's when he's older.
How couldn't you?
Right?
How couldn't you know? Save his head.
That's incredible.
That fits for a Liam Neeson line too.
Yeah,
yeah, it does. It really does. Actually,
you'll probably get the job if they ever make a freaking movie out of it.
You'll be in the biographical movie that they do of Liam Neeson's acting career or something like that.
Greetings. I am 343 Guilty Spark.
Oh, wait.
I will find you.
That's awesome.
I will kill you.
Someone in the chat, Laird, asking you do Bruce Willis.
No, God, no. I don't. You know, they're so weird, and I, you know, anybody who's done voiceovers, there's always that middle of the road voice, and I get asked to do ADR. What is ADR? It's automated dialogue replacement. That means the actor couldn't make it into the studio. They don't have a studio in their house. They were in the rushes. They were doing lines, and they were like, "Shit, I love that take, but I can't understand what he said." All right, let's throw some auditions out for ADRs to replace this line so we can get it. And there's those middle of the, they were like, hey, can you, I forget the actor's name. He's in everything now. He played the Facebook founder. What the hell's his name? He was in the Four Horsemen.
I know who you're talking about.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, thank you. Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
And
Jesse Eisenberg.
I was like, I can't really do that. I mean, I got close, but he's got, there's unique character traits And then there's ones where you're like, well, he just sounds like anybody else. Really? Really? He sounds like any guy on the street. There's no real unique quality to their voice. You know?
Eisenberg has this weird bridge. It's almost nasal, but it's on the upper tenor, lower alto. Mm-hmm. That is, it sits right in that weird hybrid range that it's so difficult to capture. Right.
Exactly. And it's got to be, you do ADR, it's got to be spot on.
Right. Because if you're trying to house it too far in the back of your throat and not quite up far enough into your nose, it just doesn't come out right. You hear the echo. You can hear the echo chamber, and it ruins the entire thing.
Right. And I would tell my agents right away when they send those, I'll just say, not in my wheelhouse. Don't want to waste your time. Don't want to waste their time. I've done a few.
Yeah.
I've done a few ADRs.
Yeah. So. Cool. GT, why don't you start the next round of the co-host questions?
Okay. I had one until DJ opened his mouth.
I'm sorry. So sorry.
Well, I do have one thing. I am truly impressed at how well you are at A, your voices, but two, doing multiple voices in a single take, like when you were reading Primordium, jumping from Chakas to Riser to Venora, you know, over it truly amazed me that how consistent you were with the voices. I mean, how long did it take you to get the ability to do that? I mean, is it something you just naturally did, or is it something you learned?
I think it's, of course, you know, GT, there's a lot of practice that goes into being a voice actor if you're going to get good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And the best of the best kind of sort of name them who they want to be. You know, some of them actually have a name, and you can blend a few of them. But to do what I did with Primordium, I'd say, hey, what did I do with that voice again? Can you play a little bit of that back? And then what they would do is they'd take little bits of it and they'd keep them handy in case I strayed a little. You know,
I mean, to do like the a woman's reference voice point almost over and over again, I had to really, you know, there's spots on a mic that you can work to make it sound thinner.
You know,
if I get very close, it doesn't sound as much. But if you back up just a little bit,
you know, I mean, and that's how I did her voice, you know. And I think Riser was that he was the Chamonix, right? What was Riser?
Yeah.
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 So, I mean, there, you know, and then the Chakas was just me.
He was the real high pitched one.
Right. So, I mean,
I would love to hear some Gamelpar.
That's how you do
it. I would love to hear some Gamelpar.
Oh, that's right. He was the old guy, right? Gamelpa. Uh-huh. Yes, Gamelpa. I forgot about that. He was the old man.
It's like I said, it just blows my mind. And this goes for all the voice actors that do these reads. It's truly amazing how one person can be so many different characters.
Sure.
Both male and female.
Sure. I mean, I was on a panel with Steve. And Jennifer, it's not Jen Taylor. There was another girl, and she was just a kick-ass chick. Her last name was Taylor too, and she was also on Halo. I'm sorry, I'm spacing on her name. We actually had drinks, you know, at the fest, me and her and Steve. But she's really got a holy crap IMDb page on all the video games she's done, and she just moves around all over the place. She was on Mass Effect. She was the tough chick on Mass Effect.
Gosh.
I know, I took care of it.
The Palmer voice actor?
No. All I know is her last name's Taylor.
And it wasn't Jen Taylor, it was a different Taylor.
No.
Yeah.
Courtney. Courtney Taylor.
Oh, there we go.
Courtney Taylor.
Mm.
Wow, why do I know that name?
She's been on a crap ton of games, and she was on one of the Halos. I think she was on ODST, actually.
Oh, she was Vicky. She's the voice actress for Vicky.
Probably. And she was kind of not an AI, but she was like half bot and half human in Mass Effect. She was just a tough chick. And that's her persona, her real persona. She was a blast to be around.
That's amazing.
And,
that's incredible.
You know, to get back to your original, you know, GT, I mean, that's how she is, another person that could move her voice all over the place.
You know, and she does little boy voices and stuff.
you know, and then she'll turn around and be a, you know, like a biker chick.
Mm-hmm.
She's responsible for saving all of us from really hurting our voices in the games. I mean, she was one of the spearhead people of doing that, you know?
Hmm.
So she and I were, you know, talking a lot.
Interesting.
Well, there, as you know, you know, games can be a very difficult things to do with your voice.
Yep.
I was on. It's all you do is fight. It's a video game. It's on my website too. It's basically a bunch of gangbangers, and it's fight. And I was like this Spanish thug, but I mean, if you're fighting the whole game, you're screaming and throwing, and your death throws, and you're fighting. I mean, I said that's a lot of water. They said you're gonna go through every bit of that. That was the last time I did a session like that. I said, I'm never doing another gig like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I actually hurt my voice doing that. It was even hard for me to do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because they had me doing fight stuff. And for the Turtles Take New York, Turtles Take Manhattan video game.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was just going to be, who's the pig? I forget his name.
Dogs like this.
That's out of my wheelhouse.
You know, I forget his name. Bebop. It was Bebop.
Yeah.
And then...
wow!
So, I did the whole Bebop thing, but then they had me do some of the, you know, Oriental fighter guys.
Because I could do the Oriental fighters as well.
You know? And, you know, when you're fighting and screaming and throwing and dying, and it can really trash your voice, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember in high school with... I was in choir throughout school. And we were getting ready to do a gig where we were singing at a mall.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a wide open space like that, it just eats sound.
Sure.
So we had to, the teacher went through and ran us through drills to teach us how to sing loudly without actually injuring ourselves.
Very good.
So that our voices could carry for more than, you know, the 6 feet in front of the bleachers. Because, you know, well, when you're in an open space like that, sound just evaporates.
Right.
That and you're trying to also be over just the ambient noise of the mall, people walking and talking and, you know, bag shuffling, things like that.
Right. So right.
I remember that. And you're right. You go through a bunch of water trying to keep that, to keep your voice healthy.
Sure.
On the way there, she had us drinking honey tea mixture just to help get our vocal cords warmed up and ready to go. So,
and I always keep this handy. This is really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Oh,
throat coat tea.
Throat coat's incredible.
So,
throat coat is amazing.
I don't know if you guys ever watched Science Channel, but I was a narrator of a show called Outrageous Acts of Science for a long time, and I was working with London. And the gal said, she goes, are you having some tea, Tim? And I said, yeah. She said, what are you drinking? And I said, throat coat tea. And for a second, it was dead silence. And then I just heard her laughing her ass off. And I said, did I say something funny? She goes, I'm sorry, darling, but throat coat has a whole different meaning for me. I said, good morning to me.
Wow.
Hello.
It's funny. It's funny you mentioned that because...
I said, it's 9 in the morning here. I said, I guess at 3, you get a bit balmy, don't you? Right. What are you drinking? She goes, we always have coffee in the afternoon. I said, but you don't throat coat at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. She goes, it depends on who I'm with. She was a pistol, that one. She was a pistol.
So
that's funny.
2 years ago, my first trip when the community took me down to Australia for our very first meeting with my stream team, I got there and I didn't realize how the air in a cabin is going to change in an international flight, especially with, you know, you're going over the sea for that long. You get really dehydrated really fast. Yeah. Didn't think about it. Wasn't drinking enough water in the process. And so my throat dried out. And it was really coarse. I had a really dry, scratchy throat. And I rolled in. I said, I need to get, and I met all my friends, my Aussies, and I went to the store and was like, hey, I said, I need to find tea. And she says, all right, what kind? And I said, do you have throat coat? And the look on her face was like, I had just committed a sin.
Right.
And I'm like, it's like a,
because you
it's,
did.
It's like a lavender flavored tea. It's like a dark licorice kind of a, she says, say it again. Throat coat. And all the boys in the group with me turned and looked at me and said, you're not shopping here anymore. Okay, we need to get you back to the apartment. No. That's not a thing we do here. Like, that's what I was asking.
That's hilarious. That's because you didn't ask for a proper cup of tea. That was your problem right there. You didn't ask for a proper cup of tea.
Exactly. Exactly.
Remember. Yeah, they're basically they're English light.
Right. English, exactly.
English light.
Yes, English light. And I know we've got a bunch of Aussies and New Zealanders here in the chat today who are excited to be here.
Hello, Aussies. How are you? And I won't say g'day because I know you don't really say that to each other.
They're doing text.
No g'day, mate.
But so for people like me who have grown up listening to different voices and trying to figure out how to best to do them, and my advice always was, if you can be an idiot and look at yourself in the eyes straight in the mirror while you're doing it, sound as awkward as you can, get as ridiculous as you can, but be as creative as you can if nobody's listening, and then do that in a room full of people.
Right.
That's your first stage. Right. Who are some of the voice artists that you listened to that helped inspire and or shape your sound as you began your career and over time as you have continued to evolve your career?
Wow.
People who might be aspiring might look to also for inspiration or guidance or as a good soundscape to help shape what they can become.
And that continues to grow and change. But some of the guys that I listened to was a man who became my friend and a mentor and still is to this day. And his name is Patrick Fraley. He's a teacher, a coach, and just a dear man. He was the voice of Shredder.
Yeah.
On Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, I'm sorry, Krang.
The cartoon.
He was the one that did Krang.
He was in the cartoon.
You know, basically.
He was the voice of Krang.
From the 80s era.
Yeah.
So, and he did tons of stuff. But anyway, he became a coach and still is. Then Bob Bergen, who does Porky Pig's voice, Billy West. And it was very cool because I got to meet and work with all these guys on Looney Tunes. There's just no reason in the world not to listen to the best of the best because now they're all online. And if they're not, if their demo's not online, there probably is copious amounts of them doing stuff on YouTube, you know? And am I trying to imitate them? No. Unless their job is going away and they need somebody that can sound just like them. I basically will take, you know, somebody's voice and make it my own, or I'll try to stretch it around that. One of the lessons I've done with people when I've coached myself is the lesson of the go around in a circle. Okay, so you got this dot in the middle. And the ask is Russian man. Okay, so that's great. So you got a Russian man. How old is he? 20 to 30. Okay, so he's Russian. He's about 20, 30 years old. Very good. So you start right there. Okay, now you start with Russian voice. And now they say, okay, can you make him a bit older? How much older? Make him an old man. Okay. So now he's older man. He's Russian man. He's a bit older. Perhaps he smokes a bit. Or he smoked a long time. Okay, now he's so much older, he's lost a tooth. So now he's an older man. He's got no tooth.
So what you do is you keep layering. And then take it away.
That's a really good practice method. So that's where stuff can come in and go away.
Yeah. Understanding the character is essentially absolutely important in those situations. Sure. That's cool.
Sure.
I like it.
Yeah, that is really cool. Let's see. My next question is, outside of the voice acting stuff, what do you do in your spare time? What's kind of your go-to thing that you do outside of voice acting?
Mountain biking. I'm an avid worker-outer, so I love to do that. But right now, I'm getting back into something that I used to do a million years ago, guys. I used to make furniture, and I actually had my own refinishing company for a long time.
What?
So right now I'm actually making a mid-century modern audio box for under our TV. The one we have now is very, you know, classic. It's glass and wood. And I was like, boy, I said, you know, now that we've got your mom's 1950s mid-century modern set and it's been refinished beautifully, I don't do too much of that anymore. It's very caustic. And, you know, I got this voice thing.
Yeah.
But, you know,
ooh, yeah.
During this pandemic, I fired up my wood shop again. And I started buying more woodworking tools. And I'm doing more woodworking again. I'm making, you know, birdhouses for friends and family. Really unique ones. I'm making mid-century modern birdhouses.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Those are some of the fun things that I do. I love to run. I love to bike. Of course, hang out with my family. Walk the neighbor's dogs.
Yeah.
If fans wanted to find out how they could look at your artwork as far as your rebuilding, or if they wanted to purchase a piece of the piece that you've rebuilt,
it's not for sale. For me. I'm not selling anything. Okay. I'm just making stuff for myself. Okay. It's just, you know, it's just fun stuff that I'm doing just to get my hands dirty. Actually, my hands are actually feel like they used to many years ago.
They have
no fingerprints left, so I can commit a crime right now.
Do you use Cornhuskers lotion?
Yeah.
Dude, I love that. That stuff worked so well on my hands for so many years.
G. Lewis, who used to be one of our co-hosts on the podcast, he threw a little note here in the YouTube channel. Pillar of Autumn birdhouse, please.
There you go. I'm trying to figure out how I can make a ring. Right. A ring world.
A bat box. A giant bat house shaped like a ring. They only come
out
at night.
That would be crazy. That'd be crazy. Okay, so let's pick a couple more from the community. I got one from Goalie Sniper over from he's one of the people that really support ACS Pro Talk. Shout out to them.
By the way,
he wants to know, what was your reaction to when you learned that 343 was going to kill Sergeant Johnson?
Absolute delight, Reclaimer.
Savage. Oh my God. What do you mean?
As you can see, we're still besties.
Oh my God.
It was just a misunderstanding, that was all.
I'm sorry.
He was going to activate the ring. It was unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable.
That was his home.
Ever.
They were about to blow up his home. I could understand that.
Okay, so this guy wants to come and blow up your house. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
You got this laser for exactly. A freaking eye. What are you going to do?
Exactly. Let's see. I got another one from C. Fox.
You and my friend the Arbiter. Yeah.
Right. She has actually a really good one. What's been the biggest life lesson or disappointment for voice acting, and how did you overcome or get over it?
Wow. That the work.
Good question.
Here it is in a nutshell. I always tell people, voiceover work, it's a roller coaster ride. Keep all hands inside the ride and hold on for dear life. There you go.
There we go.
It's a roller coaster ride. Keep all hands and body, you know, impediments inside the rides at all times and hang on for dear life. Because it goes like this all the time.
Was there ever a gig that you really wanted, but you didn't get?
Oh, sure. All the time. The ones I auditioned for today.
Uh-oh.
Yes, all the time. Of course.
Okay.
You know, especially when you turn in an audition and your agent calls you back and says, that was freaking awesome. And you don't hear a peep.
That's
okay.
Rough. I mean, there's plenty of gigs.
Well, you know, and it's
that come along.
You know, it's always on to the next one. My mentor, God bless him, miss you still every day, dude. My mentor said, "Be great, be ready, be great, be gone." Right? So what he was, you know, because he was one of those 7-figure a year guys, every year, 7 figures.
Wow.
So he said, "Be ready, be great, be gone." So what that means is practice your ass off, market. Walk into the room, be cordial, do the gig greatly. Say, you know, be cordial, say, hey, how's your kid, blah, 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 and then be gone. Don't linger, you know, get out and let them do their job. Hmm. So there you go.
All right.
Good
Sounds
advice.
Like good life lessons there.
Mediocre doesn't cut it anymore, guys. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Mediocre just doesn't cut it. The mediocre people will be weeded out. If you're not fully in, you know, that same mentor said, please be all in or get all out. Don't muddy up the waters for the rest of us who want to make a living doing this. I've never wanted to be on camera. I didn't do stage, theater. I mean, I have nothing against all that. But this is what I do. I took acting classes, not to be a stage actor. I took improv classes, not to be an improver. I did all those things to be better at voiceover.
Wow. Good for you. That's awesome.
And I still get coaching. I'm going to get coaching tomorrow. No, I'm sorry. Wait. Next Wednesday. I still get coaching. Next Wednesday. There you go.
Always room for improvement,
right?
That's right. We're gonna switch gears a little bit. We have a little corner that we call Ace's Mayhem. Ace is our social media manager for Podtacular. And he comes out with these wrong answers only type things on Wednesdays. So his question this week was, who runs Installation 04? Wrong answers only.
Wrong answers only? Riser.
That's not a bad one. I'm just going to shotgun a few of these responses and we'll see what gets the humor kick and which one gets the O. First one here is 24-01 Penitent Tangent. We actually got a couple of people that said that.
Oh. Okay. Nobody said Melania Trump?
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Someone said 343 Industries. The 343 Guilty Spark, okay. Which kind of makes sense. Someone posted an image of the nearest... Targaryen.
And her dragon.
And her dragons.
Which actually would be incredible.
Can you guys see each other's responses? Or no?
Oh, it's all on the Twitter feed. Oh, okay.
These are all from Twitter.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I am not.
Next one we have is the Pope.
Wow.
Bob the Builder. Bob the Builder.
Okay.
It's not Don Corleone. Don Corleone.
Gordon Ramsay, since he's the master chef.
Right, well, Spock's got to eat, doesn't he?
Shout out to Krista from the Podcast Evolved podcast for that one.
Very good.
Spartan D27 Burger King.
Oh, there we go. That'd be a hell of a drive-thru.
Wow.
A space drive-thru.
What do you mean I didn't get your order right?
Do you want flood sauce with that?
I need a weapon. I got your order right here.
Oh, this is gold. This is gold. Kevin Cole X, another shout out to another Halo podcast. Wendy's Twitter account.
Okay, there we go.
They're pretty on top of it.
They're pretty good. Yeah. Wheatley. Portal.
God.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yes. That's probably the most appropriate response in
there
this list.
Go. That was a famous dude that played him, right? Wasn't it the guy from crap?
Who did play Wheatley?
Who's the little person? The very famous little person. He's on the series that just ended. It was like the Dragon series that just ended.
Stephen Merchant.
Oh, was it? I thought for sure.
Really?
Stephen Merchant.
Really? Okay, I was way off. I forget the dude's name. He's a very famous little person.
Usually wears a beard and mustache,
yes,
right?
Yes. I can't even think of
Dinklage.
The
Dinklage, series. Are you?
That yeah, I'm Peter Dinklage.
Thank you. That's him.
Yeah.
I thought it was Peter Dinklage.
He's in Destiny for
okay,
a little while.
That's it.
He was the original Destiny Spark.
There we go. I knew
Ghost.
There was another kind of a guilty spark in Destiny, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he was the guilty spark in Destiny, I guess you could probably say.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for he was in your pocket instead of floating over your head all the time.
Right. You just pull him out.
Going, I'm a genius.
This is a proper Halo response. The Guardians.
The Guardians.
Getting killed by the Guardians.
Yeah.
Also true.
So very true.
The Erdidact, R2-D2.
Okay.
Darth Sidious.
I could see that.
Who are you calling Assidious?
Since I don't know how to say the name, Elon Musk's daughter.
Okay, there you go.
That is an option.
Tesla? Is there a name Tesla?
I don't feel like it's got a good upper management level opportunity there, but sure, that's an option.
Yeah.
Hello, Beamish the janitor.
Hamish Beamish the janitor.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's a really good one.
Frank O'Connor stuck on a Halo ring.
I'm the Commodore from the other game I did. Disney's Guilty Star. Or did Guilty Party. Disney's Guilty Party. Did any of you play that?
Oh my god, that's right.
No, that was Kid Riddle, too. Right.
And Schmoot.
This is I haven't. All right,
Schmoot,
so now
Schmoot,
it's...
that's who ran it. Schmoot. Y'all didn't see that one, did you? You didn't see that coming, did you? Yeah, nobody.
No, I did not.
The Halo Ring, that's where we sent the Animaniacs. That's why they're not in cartoon anymore.
Although they're coming back. I hear they're trying to bring Animaniacs back.
Really?
I'm super excited about that. I don't want to jinx it.
I'm not going to.
Wow.
Right?
Just that'll be cool. Right, so now it's the co-host's turn.
Okay.
To answer this one. DJ, you want to take a stab at this?
At what?
Who runs Installation 04? Wrong answer only.
All right. I believe Installation 04 is probably, more than likely, run by the entire cast of Space Jam.
Okay. Very good.
I mean, where else are you going to actually try and hit a basket from all the way across the world ring? It's like Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck on the far side yelling at people, and Porky Pig sitting floating dead center trying to be the ref. Like,
beautiful. I like it.
I think it's Space Jam.
Okay. Yeah. Big space hoop.
That brings a
good
whole
one.
New meaning to the whole hoop. There we go. You got to get through the hole.
Yep. Yes.
If you miss
the
planet, well,
can you fit the planet or the moon through the hoop?
Imagine what you could do with a Death Star, and who would win? Oh, that's a whole different question. Sorry.
So actually, that's a good segue into my response.
Death Star versus the ring.
That goes into my response, which was going to be Ewoks.
Ewoks.
Oh God. Nothing could possibly go wrong at that point. What could happen? What could go wrong now?
But, you know, who's ever seen that Star Wars thing? I don't think it's going anywhere.
No, nobody watches that.
That Star Wars thing is not going anywhere.
After the Christmas special of 1981, I feel like everything just kind of puttered out. Or is it 86? I don't know. I remember watching it.
I don't remember. I never seen it.
I loved it as a child.
Oh, jeez. Halo Collector said Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos. Yes.
Yeah, what I was about saying, his caveat, Jeff Bezos already built the Halo ring. It's currently on the other side of the sun. GG.
GT, don't you have a guess? A wrong guess?
No, he has one. He has one.
Oh, I have one. And I'm inspired by an earlier comment. I'm thinking Pinky in the Brain.
There we go.
Yes!
Ooh.
Oh, I love it. Oh, thank you, Brain. You've been lovely.
Instead of taking over the world, it's taking over the universe with the Halo rings.
God. Brain in the with some sort of a world engine like that would just be absolutely catastrophic.
Oh, this is a marvelous prize, Brain. Why are they shooting at us?
That's amazing. Oh, that's so
good. Oh my god.
So you're being casted for that, right?
right? I would love it, dude. I'd love it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and,
Big Daddy,
they're all
going to
work
cheese.
From home for the foreseeable future, so they,
right?
You know, they better have a really good studio.
Yeah.
Can I tell Mac a fun little story, or is there more to do?
You can tell the story.
So at PAX Fest, the Halo Fest, Marty said, hey man, let's all go out and get dinner on me. And I said, okay. So Sergeant Stacker Commander Keys, whoever you want to call him, Steve Downs and Marty O'Donnell and me went to one of the fanciest places in all of Seattle. And when Marty told him who he was, they put him on put us on a pedestal in the middle of this restaurant. And we dined for the longest time. And there was some snooty dude waiting to get there. He goes, I've been waiting forever to get. He leaned into our dinner. Because we were having cocktails and laughing and having fun. I've been waiting forever to get up there. Are you guys almost done eating? And we're like, dude, we're having a good time. Back off.
Just that, we're ordering more drinks.
So anyway, that's not the best part of the story. So we're walking home. Oh, God. We're walking back to the hotel, I should say. And we see this little guy walking down the street all alone in a Master Chief outfit. And his head is hanging. And he's walking, he's shuffling with his head down. And Marty walks up to him. He goes, hey, what's going on, dude? Are you okay? And he looks up. He goes, my friends ditched me. And he's like, really? He goes, oh, that sucks.
He's just about.
So he goes, do you think how about we make your day? He goes, huh? He goes, this is Master Chief. This is Commander Keyes. I'm Marty O'Donnell. God. And this is Tim Dodabo, the voice of 343 Guilty Spark. He was like, and he's got the helmet on and everything. He's like, what? Really? You're not kidding? And Steve leans. He goes, I need a weapon. So he does. We all do our voices. And the kid is just about pissed his Master Chief outfit by this time. And he goes, take your helmet off. We'll all sign it. So we all signed his helmet. And he was damn near skipping down the street. And I bet you any money, he's like, yeah, ditch me again, ass. The next day. Guess what happened to me?
Yes.
Yes. That is the coolest thing ever.
That was one of my favorite stories ever. Marty just saw him. He was just hangdog head walking down the street. And you could just tell the kid was, somebody just took his puppy.
No, that's incredible. Wow.
That is absolutely cool.
That is an awesome story.
My friends ditched me.
That's really cool.
He goes, well, we're going to make your day.
I think you made the kid's decade.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, you made his life.
Yep.
And if you're out there, you're welcome. Incredible. It was our pleasure.
Aw. That is so cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's an awesome story. It's so cool to see, and I know for people that are listening at home, it's kind of one of those really starstruck things of these people, I can't approach them because they're so high profile. I look up to them so much, and you just get down to the end of the day. It's like, they're just people.
Right, man.
We're just people.
Yeah, I said, we're all most of us are just working actors. Yes, there's a few stars. I got a little bit Twitter-pated when I saw, I always say his name backwards, David Keith, Keith David.
Keith David.
Yeah. Keith David, walking on camera. Because they recorded us when we did anniversary, when we did the terminals. David had walked in. I said, David Keith, how are you doing, man? I could see him walking by. He goes, hey, how are you doing? He's got that voice, and I was he said, who's that? And I said, I'm the voice of 3-4. Oh, good to meet you, man. And he just kept walking to the booth. I was like, so yeah, I mean, yes, there's some stars on the game, but most of us are just working actors. Voiceover is all we do, I was blown away when I saw the recording of Halo 2, the outtakes and all, the making of Halo 2, I think it was, that they included with the game. I was like, damn.
Yes.
I said, there's people from That 70s Show on there and Keith. And I'm like, this thing got big.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shaped two generations of people.
Sure.
Like,
sure, man.
It's insane.
And it'll continue to shape more. I don't see any reason why not.
That's right. That's right.
But
it shaped me round. Oh.
It's like we're brothers, isn't it, GT?
But yeah, I mean, I'll say this, and I'm sure everyone else will echo the sentiment here. And it's kind of been interesting because obviously I came from the fan side, and now I get people that come up to me and say, you're the host of Podtaculum. I'm like, we're a tiny freaking podcast on the corner, outer edges of the Halo community. Why are you looking up to me? And why do you want my autograph? Those people, I'm like, okay, I guess this is what other people up the line feel like.
Sure,
like,
man.
We're just people.
Well, you guys have created this whole thing, I was blown away by what you've created, man. DJ, I'm just blown away by it. I was like, you did all this? When you did all the stuff that you created for the Discovery, I was blown away by all that. Speaking of Discovery, I have one more story about that, and then I probably should bounce. So I went there with my nephew. I think you guys saw that. I was with my little nephew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And when we got there, I said, hey, dude, don't tell anybody who I am or you will lose me. And he's like, yes. What? And I said, don't tell anybody who I am or you will lose me. So we went through pretty much the whole day. And he was good. He was having a blast. It was the time of his life. So we go to the ring experience. And they're like, hey, Tim, come on in. We'll just kind of sweep you through. I said, I want to see the ring experience, but what I really want to see is this. I've heard about this guilty spark at the end. So everybody that was in the ring experience at that moment, they stopped there. That was the end of the ring experience, and it was with Guilty Spark. And they all had their headphones on, and that's when he leans to you and goes, okay, do the voice. So everybody took their headsets off, and I said, greetings, I am 343 Guilty Spark, monitor of this ring experience. And they were all like, what the hell? And you know, the guy that was basically my bodyguard said, yes, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Tim Dodaba, the voice of three. It was like, woof. And there was probably 50 people around me at that moment. And my nephew just got pushed out.
He was like,
holy crap. He goes, now I know what you were talking about.
Yeah, right?
I said, I told you, man.
I wasn't kidding.
And they ushered me out the back door. So that was kind of cool. And then, you know, basically throughout the day, every once in a while, somebody come around and up to me and said, can you sign something for me?
Oh, that's amazing.
That's cool.
The Marines, that's really cool. I signed for free.
There we go.
I saw the Marines.
There we go.
Got to sign for them for free.
Well, I do want to get to a couple more. So can we just quick fire a few more and then we'll wrap up?
We got a couple more minutes and then I got to bounce.
Yeah. So we'll take another 3 or 4 minutes and then plug your socials and other things and then we'll let you go.
Okay.
Really appreciate you doing this, man. This has been so much fun being able to share all these stories and do everything. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
We've already talked about that one a little bit. Did reprising the role for Guilty Spark and Shockos when you did the Primordium audiobook change the way that you viewed Guilty Spark as a character?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna come out and be honest here. There was a lot, almost nothing that I knew about Guilty Spark and his character or his backstory until I read that book. There was so much about Guilty Spark I really didn't know, which is why I was able to do something very different, at least in my opinion, for the Terminals, because I knew more about him. And then to stack what I learned from the Terminals on top of all that, I was able to really bring some very different emotions out, if Guilty Spark could have emotions. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. Yeah. What's been your most... Well, I guess this might be the story that you just told. What's been your most memorable fan interaction?
Ooh. This is the most... I'm going to swear now.
That's okay.
Halo 2 had just come out. And they flew me out to E3. Now, at that time, I had two games on the floor. I was the voice of Leisure Suit Larry, Magna Cum Laude. I don't know if you remember that game, but I was the voice of Larry. So I was the star of that game, and then Halo came out. Well, there was about 200 fans that were able to meet myself and Sergeant Johnson, Marty O'Donnell, and I think a few of the other writers. And they were lined up to get into the Microsoft exhibit of this. It was the Microsoft thing, and it was after hours. And as I'm walking by, I had a Halo shirt on, and I had all my characters on it. And I had a lanyard that said Tim Dodaba on there. And this kid turned and looked at me. He goes, hey, it's Tim Dodaba. It's the voice of Guilty Spark. He goes, do the voice. So I did something. And he goes, dude, that was awesome. I f-ing hate you.
Oh, that is great.
Wow.
That is great.
Wow.
I said, and my response was, then my work here is done.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
That's incredible.
Oh, that's a good one.
And with that, my work is done.
There we go.
I got one more kind of good one.
Okay, go ahead.
I put in one last one. Right. Okay. This one comes from Horispus. He said, how would you like Spark's story to end?
It's over. I know you guys say it's not, but it, as far as I know, you blew my ass out of the sky with this big freaking cannon gun. And that was a fun death to do. Marty said he didn't have to do a damn thing with my death scene.
Oh, that's cool. I did. That's so cool. Well, so where can people find you? We plugged your Twitter earlier when you stepped out. You're at DoveVocal1 on Twitter. Anywhere else people can find you or your
best.
Work?
You know, really, Twitter's best. I do have a fan page where I post some stuff on Facebook. You know, and that's pretty much it. Those are the two places where I'll see, but mostly Twitter is where I'll see, you know, anything from fans.
Very cool. Well, we are so thankful that you were able to make it on the show tonight. We really respect the job that you've put into Guilty Spark and even like Chakos, and maybe we've heard you actually do some cameos of Spark in Renegades.
Well, we'll see.
So we'll see what happens down nothing. The road.
I ain't heard nothing.
But yeah, so people go check him out on his Twitter and Facebook page. And Tim, thank you so much. And
thank
again.
You all for you your fandom. You fanatics, you, all of you, thank you around the world, around the country. Thank you all for being fans of this crazy game called Halo for all these years. Right back at you.
And you have a YouTube.
Right.
And your YouTube as well.
The big giant.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lair. Thank you. You're also on Cameo now.
That's right. And you can use my, if you guys want something done, hit me up on Cameo. Obviously, you'd pull up my name and Guilty Spark, and I can do cameos for you. I just did two today, actually.
Very nice.
Well, that's awesome.
So, yeah, I've done
and
a bunch.
You might hear him in an upcoming production that I'm working on coming in September.
Maybe.
Well, thank you, Tim, so much.
Thank you
all,
too.
We appreciate the time that you gave it to us tonight. Hopefully, we can have you back on again at some point. I know there's a lot of questions we didn't get to, but you have stories aplenty. Maybe a future outpost, so we'll see what happens. But we thank you so much.
You
and
guys.
For everyone that
everybody
joined us on the live
stay
stream.
Stay safe.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. For everyone that joined us on the live stream, thank you so much. We will catch you guys on the next one. We'll do another podcast to do our normal stuff later here. But for that, we're going to say good night. Thank you for watching. And you want to close us out, Tim?
Save their heads. Dispose of the rest.